Amen and amen. So everybody having a good week? Yeah. Looks like maybe the rain subsided, although I haven't minded the rains. How about you? Amen. Thank God for the rains. What's that, Mark? Is it? Bring it on. Bring it on. Amen and amen. So we'll pray for a few people that have been sick at the end of the service. And does anybody know what session we are in the book of, we're in chapter 5, session 30. 30. Session 30. Amen and amen. I think it's 30. Is it 30? It's 30? Okay. If it's wrong, we'll correct that next week. And as I was reading through the book of John chapter 5, and something that came back to my memory, was anybody here when David Mitz preached? And when David Mitz, him and his wife are Jewish, and I'd mentioned his wife has a father that was a very well-known rabbi. She has a brother who's a rabbi now. And then going back to Israel and living there, I think it was 4.5 or 5 years, and starting a ministry there. But even in the church that was there, the religion was so heavy that they had to go into their home to start a ministry to the Jewish people, because even in the Christian church, they were shutting them down because of religion. And just think about, this is what Jesus, by faith, is what we came into. And so understand what Jesus was dealing with. And we'll see a little bit of that today. In John 5, verse 5, it starts out, "Now a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. So we're talking about a guy who had been ill, had been sick for a long, long time. Maybe most of his life, if not his whole life, right? And Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there and knowing that he had already been there or been in that condition for a long time, said to him, 'Do you want to get well?'" Now, isn't that interesting that he's going, remember we talked about the sheep gate, and we'll talk a little about, we have this, that there's this body of water, they think, or something, or a fountain where once in a while an angel would come down and stir this water, and the first one in would get healed. But he goes up to him and says, "Do you want to get well?" And so Jesus asks a question. Let me say, when Jesus asks a question, he's not always trying to get an answer. He's actually, if you read in the New Testament, he's actually trying to reveal a truth. And so when he says, "Do you want to get well?" If you look at that in the Greek, it means, do you want to grow? Do you want to increase? Do you want to be healthy? How many of you want to grow in the Lord and grow in the knowledge of God? How many of you want to increase in the Lord? Amen? Increase in your knowledge and in your strength, in your understanding of Him. Amen? How many of you want to be healthy? Amen? Do you want to be healthy? Man, health, your health, regardless of your age, is important. Amen? It says, do you want, and also means, do you want to know true doctrine? Do you want to know the truth? And then it also means whole. Do you want to be whole? And so Jesus asking this man. And it takes me back. Let me go to 3 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, because John, the same apostle John, in the epistle, third epistle, who wrote the gospel, John says, "Beloved." Amen. Any beloved here? He says, "I pray that in all respects," say all respects, "you may prosper, man, and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Is your soul, one thing, if you know, I've learned that in life, if your soul is not healthy, it's hard to prosper. I've met people that had a lot of money, but their soul wasn't healthy, so they weren't living in prosperity. I've met others who didn't have a lot of money, but yet their soul was prospering. And it's the same thing. I've met people with a lot of money whose souls were prospering. And so he was saying that as your soul prospers, as your soul grows in him, as you become at more and more rest and peace in him, as anger has less and less of a hold on you. Has anybody ever struggled with anger in this world? Or how about frustration? Sometimes it seems like just to live outside the scope of complete frustration during a week can be an accomplishment in itself. Can anybody agree with that? Whether it's in the traffic, right? Whether it's if you're dealing with people throughout the week, amen? Whether it's with finances or whatever the case is, the biggest thing I noticed in today's world, or how about the frustration with the government? Amen? So for me to prosper today, I'm saying, Lord, help me to live at peace when it's a struggle to not always be frustrated through the day. You can have frustrations in marriage. You can have frustrations with children. I didn't mean to laugh there. Forgive me. You can have frustrations with other people around you, your neighbors. You can have frustrations with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Nobody raise your hand there, please. But this thing of living in frustration. And so he says, you be in good health just as your soul prospers. And so, Lord, I pray that even tonight as we go through this, Lord, I pray that we would grow in our prosperity of our souls. Amen? Grow in our prosperity of understanding you, that living in peace and strength and being set free from frustration and anger in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And as I pray, say, Lord, in my soul realm, I know my spirit man is born again and I'm one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. I get that. But this ideal of having renewing my mind and within my soul realm, my mind, my mind, will, and emotions, it's still a battle, isn't it? Still a battle. But even John's saying, as your soul prospers, so I pray, Lord, that we continue to prosper in you, continue to grow in strength in you. Continue to grow in peace in you. Father, continue to, Lord, to start moving in a loving, kind, understanding mind, will, and emotions. I may be the only one that needs that here, but nevertheless, I need it. He says, and then he says this, he says, for I was overjoyed when brothers came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. Wow. Walking in truth. Now, we want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to walk in His miracle power. But, you know, none of that happens effectively until we're walking in truth. I believe we're walking in truth, don't you? Amen. Walking in His grace and His mercy and His love and our souls continually being renewed, amen, by the Word of God and prospering, our souls prospering. And He says, I'm glad you're walking in the truth. See, truth, there is truth. Before John, in verse 2 of 3rd John, he says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Amen. He says, I love in truth. Walking in that truth. And so this question said, do you want to get well? When Jesus asks a question, he's always trying to reveal something to man. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say I am? Some say I'm Eliza. They said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this person. Some people say that you are one of the great prophets. And then we know what Peter said. He says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus was asking a question, trying to reveal and trying to get at the truth. And we'll see that in this same scenario a few verses down. And so John 5:7, the next verse, the sick man answered him. You know, Jesus said, hey, do you want to get well? He didn't know Jesus from Adam, did he? Jesus was not wearing any type of priestly robes. He was dressed maybe as your average fisherman. Would you agree with that? And so the sick man answered him, saying, I don't see anything special about Jesus. He doesn't look like he can help me in any particular way. So he says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So you remember that pool would be stirred. And in John 5, and the first person to touch it would be healed. Remember, they were under the old covenant. Remember, he talked about in the old covenant, there's so few written examples of individuals being healed in the old covenant. But when Jesus came in the scene, what? He says he went around healing all that were sick and, what's the rest of it? Oppressed by the devil in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. You know, I wonder, I hope, did you hear about it? Some people are still waiting by pools. Did you know that? I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard lately of people going to places where there's portals. Have you heard this? Going to places, there's a portal here. There's something here where there's a dynamic sense of the Spirit of God. If you'll come here, you'll receive something because there's a special portal here. Did you? That's no different, I don't think, and I'll show you by Scripture, than somebody saying, let's go to Sedona. There's a vortex there, which is a portal, type of portal. There's a vortex here. And this vortex has healing power. This vortex has wisdom. This vortex has strength. This vortex has on and on and on. Sometimes we got to be careful when we hear things where it does not line up with the Word of God, saying there's a special anointing just here. And I'm not saying there isn't meetings and churches and things, but there isn't a power of God there. I'm not saying that at all. That's awesome. But sometimes there's this thing that there's a special anointing here that you can't get anywhere else because there's a portal here. There's a special anointing here. I'm telling you that is not scriptural. It's not scriptural. In 2 Peter 1:3, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life. Wow. His power that lives in you. His power that lives in me. His power that's available to us. His truth that is directly inside of us. For his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. See, it says right here, everything. He's given us everything pertaining to what? To life. You think about what we have in life. We have his love, his healing, his provision, his strength, his wisdom, his joy. Everything pertaining to life lives in the inside of us. Do you agree with that? Amen? So some people are still waiting by pools, by portals. You know, you'll hear this thing, I can't get well. This man could have said this. I can't get well. And maybe you've heard this from other people. I've been this way for so long, I can't get well. That man had been there for 38 years. I've been this way for so long. What a lie of the enemy. I've been this way for too long. Those people that we're praying for, man, they've been this way, or they've been that way for so long, I don't think they can change. Or you hear people say, I don't have the ability to change. Well, thank you, Jesus. That's a good place to start. You don't have the ability to change yourself. But people say, I've been this way too long. I don't have the strength or ability to change. Or other people, the big thing I hear right now that you'll hear from people, this is my identity. This is who I am. Don't try to change me. This is how I was born. This is what happened to me. This is who I am. This is my identity. Or people say, I act this way because you don't know what I've been through. And I'm not making light of any of these things, but I'm just saying all the excuses that people say, why I can't get better or why I can't change. You don't know what I've been through. I'm getting what I deserve because. Or my addiction is how I cope. Or you'll hear, you are the reason I'm the way I am, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See, I've met many people who want to get well or be made whole as long as it's on their terms. Salvation is trading my life, my sin, my struggles, listen to this, my bitterness, my hate, my turmoil for his righteousness, his peace, his love, hallelujah, his provision, His healing, hallelujah. His wealth, hallelujah. His power, hallelujah. His peace, hallelujah. His favor, hallelujah. His wisdom, hallelujah. His strength, hallelujah. His endurance, hallelujah. His joy, hallelujah. His understanding, hallelujah. His goodness, hallelujah. His character, hallelujah. His patience, hallelujah. His truth, hallelujah. That's what I'm trading when I give my life to Jesus Christ. But so many people, most people would rather live a life of self-effort. I can't is the sick man's answer, so Jesus says. No excuse. You know, God, the devil will try to convince you, man, if you give your life to God, if you really give your life to your God, it's going to be these unrealistic expectations from him. Or it's going to be a bummer, or it's going to be this and that. I'm telling you, when you give your life to Christ, you're trading a life of sin, a life of destruction, a life of beating your head against the wall in exchange for his glory, for his strength and his power. Amen? That is what you are giving up. But most people would rather live a life of self-effort. So the world will accommodate you in that. Religion will accommodate you in that, but the grace will not accommodate you. You have to come just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Amen? And you exchange your sin, your filthy rags, for his righteousness. See, grace, what it does is it exposes, it moves away everything, and it really comes down to this. Do you want to give your life to Christ because he loves you? It removes the grace of God, and the goodness of God removes all the excuses. It removes all the hindrances, and it says, I love you. Give your life to me. I love you. I've got a purpose for you. I love you. I want to draw closer to you. I love you. I want to reveal truth to you. I love you. I want to reveal my love to you. I love you. I want to reveal all my goodness to you. That's what the grace of God does. The grace of God says, I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit. The grace of God says, I've got giftings and abilities and things that you were born with. Allow me to bring forth the gold in Jesus' name. And it'll be only by trusting him. It'll be by not giving up. It'll be not by refusing to go into self-effort and self-helps. And it says, I'm done with that, Lord. I'm trusting you. And by your grace and by your power, these things will and shall come forth. That is good, good news. Amen? But once again, most people would rather live in a life of self-effort. Even if it means remaining sick. Even if it means remaining lost. Even if it means to remain miserable. We see it, we see it, we see it all around us. People refusing to yield themselves. I don't know about you, but I am not going to be that type of man. I'm not going to be a stiff-necked individual. I'm anyone that says, Lord, I belong to you. Like many of you already say, Lord, I belong to you. Your grace is working through me and in me to the benefit of my family, to the benefit of my church, to the benefit of my community, and when you put it all together, to the benefit of my nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Do you love him? Are you hanging in there? And then Jesus says in chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, praise God. Hallelujah, you're walking. How did that happen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God is amongst us. God's power is finally, the Messiah has finally arrived. What we've been praying for, what we've been looking for, what we've been studying about has finally arrived. But because of the spiritual stupor and the religion that they were stewed in, They said immediately, they said, so the Jews were saying to the man, who was cured? It is a Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. Can you imagine being so stooped in blindness, religious blindness, that somebody is healed 38 years of being sick, and they are healed, and you are completely offended because on the Sabbath, which they had taken to a whole different level than what God said it was carrying his pallet on a Sunday. Could you imagine the religion that Jesus was facing, his persecution? One of the biggest persecutions that he faced is because he was making people whole on the Sabbath. But he answered them. They said, you can't be carrying your pallet. What are you doing? But he answered and he said, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk. That's when Jesus, that's when Jesus started showing little cracks in those religious walls. Little cracks of what man had made the law. What man had made fellowship with God. All down to a list of do's and don'ts. The fellowship with the Father had come down to simply things you can and cannot do. And they were unreasonable about it. So he who made me well is the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk on Sabbath, on the day of rest. They asked him, who is this man that said to you, pick up and walk? Who is such a man that would dare heal you and then tell you, pick up your pallet and walk? Isn't that amazing? The heart of religion has no empathy for people. The heart of religion, you cannot have any appearances of struggles or weaknesses. You have to have this rigid rules and regulations, and everything is a facade. Behind it is hollow. Even Jesus, behind it is hollow. There's no life. There's no liberty. There's no strength. There's no wholeness. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no truth. There's no love. There's no freedom in it. You can't be comfortable in your own skin, as we like to say. Pick up. And who said that? The utter religion that Jesus had to fight. The man is healed, but the focus is on man's regulations and rules. Who told you to pick up your mat and walk? Who said you were free? In other words, who said you were healed? These are things that you can hear from the world or from religion, even in today. Who said you're free? Are you sure you're free? Do you feel free? Do you look free? These are the things that religion will say. Have you read our book on 10 points of knowing if you truly are saved? Have you taken our 6-week course before you are baptized? Do you still have any bad thoughts? Do you still have any bad habits? Here's your maintenance schedule for prayer, fasting, tithing, alms, Bible reading, personal devotion, wholesome speech, a right attitude, thankful heart, and a partridge in a pear tree. See, religion will get you saved, and then it will take you directly into self-maintenance programs. Your flesh cannot maintain itself. It won't do it. When you try to maintain yourself, you go right into what Romans 7 says, that you go into following the law, and the power of the law is sin. Now, I'm not saying there's not right or wrong, but when you start saying, hey, I can do this, I'll be righteous if I'll do this, I'm telling you the power of that particular law will take you down every time. Paul said, I wouldn't have known what this was. I wouldn't have known what coveting was, I think it was. I wouldn't have known what coveting was until I saw the commandment, thou shalt not covet. And he said, then the power of that sin drove me to be a man of coveting. Amen. Amen. So the verse 13, but the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and informed the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. You know, it's interesting. Jesus heals him, and he had no chance of that under the old covenant. Jesus says, pick up your mat. You are free to live a life outside the scope of religious duties. Jesus says, forsake your life of sin. Forsake your unbelief. Forsake your self-perspective. Take responsibility for your life. How do we take responsibility? Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, wash my sins away. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for bringing me into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for making me one of your children. Thank you, Father God, that I'm part of your kingdom. Thank you for making me part of the church. Amen. You know, I've seen people that will come into Christ, and then they'll go to a church service, and the power of God will really touch them. They'll be crying and weeping, and then they'll leave. And if they're not careful, what happens is they actually go deeper into what they've been trying to get away from, their heart. Lord touches them, calls them. And then they'll turn around, they'll refuse it, and they actually go deeper into the thing that they're trying to get out of. But aren't you so thankful that God still pursues, that God's still there? I think of a particular individual that you don't know, so it doesn't matter. Who done that? I remember they went to a church service and they said, I was weeping and crying and the Lord was doing something, and the next thing I know they were deeper in sin. See, they shunned it. They got past that conviction. And for whatever reason, that the works of the flesh got a hold of them, and they just went deeper. But I know for that individual, there's coming a time where they're finally saying, I've had enough. This has brought me complete misery. This has brought me finally to the end of my rope, and I'm coming back home. This time when they come into the presence of God, the Spirit of God touches them, they're going to say, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I belong. I belong in his presence. My life belongs to him. I'm not going anywhere. Amen. So people will do that. They'll be touched by the Lord, then go deeper. Amen. Aren't you glad of his kindness in your life? Has anybody here have had struggles that he never leaves you nor forsakes you? Amen. Amen and amen. So John 5:16-17. For this reason, now listen, this is amazing. For this reason, because he healed somebody on the Sabbath, for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They were bad-mouthing him. They were spreading false lies and rumors about him. They were saying things like, no, he's not the Son of God. He's not even a man of God. He has a devil. He's evil. So everywhere he goes, there's opposition against him. Amen. Aren't you glad that he went through that opposition, endured the shame, hung on a cross for you and I, amen, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father, and is coming back again with glory. Hallelujah. That's why he says when you're being tempted, he says, I was tempted in like fashion, but I was found without sin. He says, I have compassion for you. Trust me, for no temptation will come upon you that you will not be able to handle, because I will be there with you. Amen? Your flesh may scream, your mind may scream, but the Holy Spirit in you will say, stand firm. Amen. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing things on the Sabbath. Well, what things were those healing people? But he answered them saying, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. He says, you may have twisted this thing. He says, but I'm working, and my Father's working. And I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God today is still working. Amen. I can rest in this, that he's always working on my behalf. I can rest in this, that he's for me and not against me. I can rest in this, that he has my best in mind, that nothing happens without his knowledge of it, that all things work together for good, that them that love God are called into his purpose. Man, I can rest in that, knowing that he is always working. Jesus is making intercession for you and I at the right hand of the Father right now. Jesus is still working on behalf of this world and behalf of his church. Hallelujah. He's still working on our behalf. Amen. He's still working through the Holy Spirit. He's still working through us in the Holy Spirit and His strength. Amen and amen. Our God is still working. You know, seven miracles recorded in the Bible that He did on the Sabbath, that boy, it raised a stunk every time. Talking about this Sabbath day, if I want to read from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28 in our last remaining minutes. And this is Jesus and His disciples, and it happened that He was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and His disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. They're probably hungry, right? The Pharisees were saying to Him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Who said, by the way? Man's traditions. And He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he also gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so he was saying the Sabbath being made for the man, made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was talking about look what David did when he went into the house of the Lord and ate the consecrated bread. Well, we'll read in a little bit. What Jesus was saying is that was all just a shadow, a foreshadow of me. A foreshadow of me that David went into the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place, and they gave him bread. And who is the bread of life? Jesus, amen? Him getting strength from Jesus. Him getting a foreshadow of him becoming fed by Jesus himself. He says, "Eve, the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath." I'm going to skip Exodus 28 through 11. And I want to go to Colossians 2, 14 through 17. I love this scripture, Colossians 2, 14 through 17, meaning all these things that Jesus was talking about, all these things we saw in the Old Covenant, in the Old Temple, all the rules and regulations were a shadow and a type of Christ. Colossians 2, 14 through 17 says, "I have canceled the certificate of debt." Wow. "Consisting of decrees against us." Where do these decrees come from, by the way? From the law. He's talking about those decrees from the law, Mark, that were against them. Those written things on stone. It says, "Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us." The law was hostile. You couldn't keep it. You couldn't perform it. Amen? It was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Listen to this. "Having nailed it to the cross." Nailed all my sin, all my guilt, all my shame, all those things that pointed in the Word of God and said, "You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty." He took all that debt and nailed it to the cross. Amen? And then he went on from there, and he made, and it says, having nailed it to the cross, verse 15, "When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." Man, if they'd known what was going to happen, if they'd known that was going to, the power that was going to be released when Jesus was hung on a cross and then rose again, they would have never, the powers, principalities, and powers would never allowed him to die. But for their hate for God, their hate for Jesus, their hate of the truth, the hate for the light, they were completely blinded and could not help but to see Jesus being mocked, enjoying that scene, Jesus being mocked. Mean him suffering and then dying, and then it was flipped on its head because Jesus says, "Look, I disarmed," verse 15, "when he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities," when he died on the cross, basically, "he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." And then it says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink," amen, "or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day." You see that? "Things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Here's our Sabbath. Our Sabbath, when you read in the Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10, Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. He is our daily rest. He is our peace every day. We have the Sabbath of God living within us. Amen? Because Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So now, those things which were a shadow, those things that were types and symbols, are now a reality in Christ Jesus. So you and I, as Jesus and God continue to work, as you and I continue to rest in his love and his peace and his strength. Can you stand up with me before we go a few minutes? Can we thank God for the Sabbath that is in Christ Jesus, we can rest in him. It's awesome to be able to rest in him. And I know I say it over and over again, but we have to hear it, that even in our middle of our struggles, sometimes even in our defeats, that he loves us with an undying love, that he's there still. He's still calling us saying, come, you belong to me. If you've ever had children, that are they ever defeated? Do they ever make mistakes? Do they ever completely, utterly blow it, but yet you love him? See, his ways are much higher in our ways, and his thoughts are much higher in us. If we only understood how he thought about us, we can rest in him and say, Lord, I continue to believe for miracles in my life, for my children, for my marriage, for my home, for my job, for my health in Jesus' name. I continue to thank you for the answers that belong to me, Father God, because I walk in this rest known as Sabbath every day of the week because the Spirit of God that lives in me. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. Boy, that sounds like Sabbath to me. That sounds like rest to me. That sounds like his peace to me. So, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that even this evening that we would, in your rest, Lord, Sabbath means rest, that we would live in your rest, even as we sleep tonight, even as we get up and whatever we're doing tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we would be conscious of living in your Sabbath rest as you continue to work on behalf of your people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we declare that. In the name of Jesus, we believe it. In the name of Jesus, Father, continue to reveal truth to us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, continue to uproot and break things in our lives that are lies, that are religious-based, or things that are not based upon the truth and your pure love for us. Or continue to root those things up out of our soul realm and reveal the truth as we continue to prosper in you in every aspect of our lives. We declare that. We speak it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Have a beautiful Sabbath tomorrow. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Jim. Earls, what's your sister's name again? Arain, is she in the hospital? Okay. Mom, speak.
Lord, we just bring Jenna before you and Jan. Her mom is in the hospital, and Father, they're trying to figure out what's wrong with her. But God, we ask you, Lord, you're the great I am, Father, that they will find the situation, Father, and she can come home. We speak to her oxygen level to be normal. Right now, we speak specifically, Father, that she's healed of the Lord. We speak 1 Peter 2:27 over her. Isaiah 53, we thank you, Father, for the healing. And we thank you that she will be made whole. And, Father, the joy of the Lord is her strength. Divine visitation in that room right now. And strengthen her daughter as she cares for her. And we thank you for a good and a true report in Jesus' name.
And Mike Rose, will you pray for Irene? I think it's Irene.
Lord, we pray for Irene, that her heart and help her, Lord, to have strength, to know who she is in Christ, to lean on that knowledge, and to pray for her own healing and to come to you, Lord, in thought and believe it and know it and let it sink down in her heart, Lord, and have that heart healed in the name of Jesus. So we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know, there would be many groups of people that would be very offended for me saying, have a wonderful Sabbath tomorrow. And I don't mean that to offend people, but all those things are found in Christ. Read what Paul said in Colossians and other areas where he said all those things being types and shadows of things that are now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He's our rest. He's our rest. Amen. Thank you, Father. We thank you. We bless you. We thank you for healing our bodies. Amen. Hey, there's Praise at the Park Friday, 6:30. Yes, thank you. You want to pray for that? No, okay. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We pray for those in Florida. Lord, we're praying right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that this storm would just stop in its tracks. We pray that 100-mile-an-hour winds would be calm. Lord Jesus, you calm the storm, amen? And so, Lord, we just ask for the preservation of life. We thank you for the reduction of the power of the storm in Jesus' name. And we thank you for you getting the glory for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the people of God in Florida as they stand in prayer right now. We just join our prayer with them. And we thank you for preserving Florida, Father God. This storm would be stopped in its tracks. And the seas would be calm. And the waves would stop. And the winds subside, and we just thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. And don't forget about Praise in the Park, 6:30 Friday.